My only regret was I wish I had more time to dissect what I was actually getting into. I've been in this league long enough to kind of always downplay, like, man, we don't need preseason. We don't need OTAs. We don't need, we're ready to go. Yeah, maybe if I was still in the same system that I came from, but learning this system, yeah, you just need more time. You need more real reps to kind of go through, because it's only but so much you can kind of make up. Like, you can put the eyelashes on, you can do your eyebrows, you can put your lipstick on, the mascara and the lip liner, but sooner or later it's gonna rain and the real true you will show.
Patriots quarterback Cam Newton talking about some of the regrets from this season. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help with locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. Let's welcome in from the MMQB, Burt Breer, who joins us for one final time this season. Hey, Burt.
Hey guys, how you doing? So weird, isn't it, that this is just it? And we know, like, I can't remember the last time. It's been, what, 12 years since we knew going into a game that it was going to be the Patriots' last game of the season, other than a Super Bowl, right?
I'm trying to remember. So week 17 of 2008, though, there was still a shot. Was there not?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you're right.
No, so this is the first time since 2000 and...
2000.
Was it? No, 2002 they had a shot on the final
yeah,
day.
They did. Yeah, they did. They won, and they needed Brett Favre to beat the Jets,
right.
And he completely rolled over.
That's right. So, no, 2000, it's been 20 years. It's been two solid decades since they went into the final game with nothing to play for. So, yeah, that's where we're at, Bert.
Just an empty stadium against a Jets team that has less to play for than they do, because the Jets are locked into their draft pick. It's just insane.
We were just talking a couple of minutes ago about the season getting to a completion and the NFL getting through the season on time. 17 weeks, they got it done. However, you just tweeted a couple of minutes ago, what's going on in Cleveland with the Browns game?
So, like, there was a positive test last night. The Kevin Johnson, the corner, he's now on the COVID list. So that means they'll be put down both their starting corners today. They gave the players rapid tests last night. They gave the coaches rapid tests this morning. And they're basically saying to everybody, until we have a negative test on you, you are not to show up to the stadium. So, wow. We're like 2.5 hours before kickoff. Chris, you know the way this works, like how early coaches normally get there. A lot of the coaches are still at home, waiting for the high sign to come in. So, it's just, God, you got to feel bad for Browns fans too. It's been so long since they've been in a situation where you're competing for a playoff spot on the last week of the season. They lose to the Jets last week, and now, they're dealing with this. And there is some concern, and I think this is an important point, of course, that, the trip last week to New Jersey may have contributed to the spread, and we knew they had COVID problems going into that game as well.
Yeah, wow, that's really scary. We're sort of giving the NFL credit for being able to make it through the COVID season, but here we are at the end, and there could be a real major hiccup with a team that's playing for a playoff berth. That would be, really a shame.
But by the way, when you say giving the NFL credit, I'm not talking specifically just about the league. Like, players and coaches.
Sure, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's, when you say NFL, that's all-encompassing. That is players who managed it, coaches who managed it. I know individual teams, including the Patriots, made all kinds of efforts. I'm not talking about the league office or Park Avenue. I'm talking about the people involved who have shown up every day and found a way to make it work.
It's really, like, you talk about the way this has altered some people's lives, with coaches. I know some coaches have spent time away from their family because, they've got kids in school and wives who are working. There are examples of, players who, like, and look, like, I think it's, I mean, for all three of us, right? Like, it's a lot easier for us to just sit in front of Netflix, on a Friday night.
Sure.
Like, when you're 24 and you have money in your pocket for the first time, like, that's a pretty big sacrifice, giving up your social life for 6 months, So, I'm with you guys on that. Like, there's no question that, like, the medical people, the athletic trainers, the players, the coaches, like, it took a Herculean effort to make it here, where they're in position now to get all 256 games played in 17 weeks. Because I think most of us, when there was the outbreak in Tennessee, when there was the outbreak in Baltimore, you were sort of wondering, like, okay, like, is this the tip of the iceberg? Is this when things really come undone? And they found a way to fight through all of that. So, you know, we can argue till we're blue in the face about the ethics of all this and everything else, but there's no question that a lot of people did a lot of work to make it happen.
Is there any chance Ryan Day ends up as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
Is that Bert Breer, the reporter, or Bert Breer, the fan speaking?
Yeah, or Urban Meyer for that matter.
So I think Urban's, I think I'll put it this way. Like, and I've been reporting on the Urban thing for a few weeks now. You know, I think he's intrigued by it. I know he's lined up some staff. You know, I know he's asked around about it. I think part of it's going to come down to his health. I don't know that if this was just a normal opportunity, and he has been sort of, I think he's had his temperature taken by a couple other teams too. I think if this was a normal opportunity, I don't think he'd be necessarily ready to go back and coach again. But like the fact that it's in Florida, it's near where he was and his family was, you know, they were in Gainesville, of course. It gives him a chance. And Chris, you know, this is a follower of college football. His legacy at UF isn't what it should be for a guy who's won two national championships. Yeah. So it'll give him an opportunity maybe to fix his legacy there. And I mean, you look at the, like from a resources standpoint, you have the first overall pick. That means Trevor Lawrence is going to be your quarterback. You got multiple picks in the first, second, fourth, fifth, and seventh rounds.
Wow.
You have the most cap space in the league, and you have ownership that's shown for better or worse that they're going to be really, really patient and let you do your job. So
that sounds like a really good job there
for anybody. It is. I mean, think about that. Like all that stuff I just ran down, like you want a chance to do it yourself. Like, and oh, by the way, I have a generational quarterback prospect to build around. It's all right there for you. You know, like, so I think it's the most, I mean, I'd say probably both on the GM and the coach market. Like, I'd say it's probably the most attractive one on both. Like, it's both the most attractive GM job, yeah, both, and the most attractive coaching job out there. And I think that is why Urban's considering it. Ryan Day, on the other hand, I think he's of a mind to stay at Ohio State for another 5 or 10 years. He does have NFL aspirations. I can tell you that.
Interesting.
And I think there's only one job. I think there's one job that he might consider leaving a little earlier than he wants to for, and that's the New England job.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, the tough part for Ryan Day would be having to deal with the salary cap in the NFL, because there is no salary cap at Ohio State.
That was a pretty talented group he put out there on Friday night. I think you guys saw that,
right? On a shoestring budget, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
Or, you know, sold like, shoes. I don't know, something like that.
Well, it's unfortunate that we had to put that beating on the plucky little underdog from Clemson, South Carolina.
Bert, can I ask you another question?
By the way, I just want to say, Chris,
I mean, because as you guys know, Dabo's very ethical in the way he runs the program.
Oh, here we go. Bert has a vested interest in getting Urban to go and fill any job that Ryan Day might consider.
Oh, totally. 100%.
Right? Like, this is something that we need to consider when we hear these answers.
Bert, I do, just to switch it to the Patriots here, because we would be remiss if we didn't ask you. And I know I've asked you this before, but I want to take your temperature again now that we're at the end of the season. What is the most realistic quarterback option out there for the Patriots? And is it Jimmy Garoppolo? Where is Kyle Shanahan at this point with Jimmy Garoppolo? You're hearing sort of different things out of San Francisco, but it seems like right now they're leaning towards, you know, bringing him back.
Yeah, I think it's going to sort of depend on what their options are. And so, like, it's sort of the way we've talked about Derek Carr with the Raiders the last few years, where if there's an upgrade out there for them, they're going to be all ears on it, right? Like, so do you see Sam Darnold as an upgrade? Obviously, he's a lot younger. Do you look at somebody in the draft and say, you know, we've got a really good roster, we're willing to move aggressively up to go and get this kid? You know, like, it's interesting because I think some of those situations – like how it materializes could wind up being a product of timing, right? Like, so if you're the Patriots and Jimmy Garoppolo's availability boils down to whether or not the Niners can go up and get, say, Zach Wilson in the draft, like, you can't wait that long, can you?
No, they did last year.
I mean, that's the thing though. Like, you might be in that situation where it's like, if like Jimmy might become available, but maybe he's not available until, you know, April 29th, because the Niners don't know that they're going to wind up getting player X in the draft. So, like, I think that one is sort of interesting that way. Maybe, like, who knows what happens with Sam Darnold? Maybe the Jets want to go through a process of evaluating Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and the other kids, and maybe they don't make him available until the beginning of April. Now, that wouldn't be the best way for them to get the best value for Sam, but it's possible that it plays out that way. And so I think it's interesting because some of these things could come down to timing, where the Patriots are sitting there on day one of the league year with a quarterback issue to address, and maybe the Niners aren't ready to deal Garoppolo yet. Maybe the Jets aren't willing to deal Darnold yet, which could, I don't think they're going to deal him here, but could set off dominoes elsewhere. It's just a really fascinating situation from that standpoint where, like, jumping early on somebody might mean not going after somebody later, so you sort of have to balance one with the other.
How soon is Gase going to get fired after today's game?
I mean, I think that there'll probably be a press. What time? They play at 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So Patriots and the Jets play at 1 o'clock. Maybe there's a press release at like 4:45 or something.
Has that gotten contentious there? Is it nasty between him and that team?
I think they've sort of known where they are for a while now. I don't think so. I mean, I think Adam's probably pretty realistic with realistic about where he's at, and knew, like, you know, we're creeping closer to 0-16. Coaches who go through that, like, ask Hugh Jackson and Rod Marinelli, coaches who go through that don't survive it, you know? So, like, the writing's been on the wall for a while. I mean, the way they played the last few weeks, he's actually acquitted himself pretty
well. Okay, I was going to ask you this. I have a theory on this. Chris, I haven't told you about this yet.
Okay.
That the cover zero play led to the Jets turning things around.
Yeah.
That it was sort of a spark. You got a coach fired. You saw sort of the emotional response of the team and how upset they were that they had lost the game. I think that may have come getting the number one pick and getting Trevor Lawrence.
It's almost like he's like Adam Gase is now like Lou Brown in Major League, you know, like where the owner wants to move the team to Florida and like everybody's against him and everybody wants them to lose. And then, like, you know, he brings in the stand up thing. I guess this is a family program.
So No.
He starts peeling pieces off. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Adam Gase is Lou Brown of 2020.
Sticking with the Gase theme, Bert, what do you think his next move is, and what's more likely, that he's Nick Saban's offensive coordinator at Alabama or that he's Bill Belichick's offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach in New England?
Yeah, fascinating twist, huh? Like there, like it was like, where is he going to find a job? And now he might have, options. I mean, I think Nick would be interested in bringing him there. Obviously the system at Alabama is the system at Alabama. But if you're talking about wanting to reestablish yourself, you're going to a place that's got better players than every team they're playing against on a weekly basis. And you look at guys, guys who've gone through there.
Especially on Monday.
We're not going to get into that.
You said they have better players than every team every week.
But if you look at that's like coaching. I mean, Chris, you know this. Yeah. Beetle, you know this. Like, Saban's got like a borderline coaching rehab program there, right?
Very true.
Yeah, he does.
Like, Mario Cristobal got fired at like FIU. He's now the head coach at Oregon, right? Mike Loxley got fired at New Mexico. He's now the head coach at Maryland. Lane Kiffin got fired at USC. He's at Ole Miss now.
And he needed a rehab.
Look at these guys. Like it's unbelievable. Like, I think DJ Durkin, right? Like, he like bounced back. Now he's somewhere else too. Like, what they went through at Maryland, like, that was horrible. Like you'd never think DJ Durkin would be in the mix to be like on a college staff again after that happened. And like 1 year at Alabama, now all of a sudden he's back out there. So, like, if I'm Adam Gase, I mean, I think he really like would love the idea of working as like a, you know, quarterback's coach or something for Bill, and he looks up to Bill and everything else. But man, like, if you're Adam Gase, now all of a sudden you look at that opening at Alabama, wouldn't you sort of say to yourself, like, there is no one better at reestablishing his assistant's like stock than Nick Saban. So it makes all the sense in the world to go there.
And it could be very lucrative.
And we could throw Brian Daboll in there too. He
Brian
had a one Daboll's year stint
one, Chris.
As offensive coordinator, won the national championship, got back into the NFL. So it's not just a college thing. You can get back into the NFL.
Right.
So that would be interesting if Bill and Nick Saban, good friends, were competing for Adam Gase's services this offseason.
And let's keep an eye on Ryan Day, who apparently wants to coach the Patriots. Let's do that.
I mean, like, I just think he's an interesting name going forward, don't you? Like, wouldn't you
guys? Absolutely. Guy with the New England roots, no doubt about it. Yeah. All right, Bert. Hey, good luck with your Buckeyes.
Good luck Monday, Bert.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Are you going down there, Bert? Maybe you don't want to say publicly?
Well, I have some plans in place.
Of course. All right, Bert, thanks.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bert Breer, the MMQB, joining us. Always appreciate his time. We have time for your phone calls. Coming up next, 617-779-0985. You want to jump on board? Patriots, Jets today. And is it the 9th or 10th pick they can get up to, Chris? My calculations and online calculators tell me 10th. I think there's a chance the Patriots could get the 9th pick. I'll lay it out for you. It's all coming up here on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.